Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The following account is taken from the journals, correspondence, and patient files of Dr. Eric Nelson, a brash young psychiatrist. The factuality of events described hereafter is contested to this day, and the general consensus is that Dr. Nelson slowly lost his mind, falling into severe neurosis. There are others, however, who believe that Dr. Nelson stumbled upon something truly horrifying. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, June 18th. 1998. Today's the day, I finally guaranteed. 8 long years of schooling is now behind me. I can't believe it. I am now Dr. Eric Nelson. I wish my dad was still here to see it. Mom says she felt him at my graduation ceremony. She's sure he was there in spirit. Sometimes I wish I could have the faith that she does. She's always so sure of everything. I guess I've just seen and learned too much to believe in life after death. Even so, it was a nice sentiment, and the thought of a ghostly version of my dad watching me get my degree did bring a smile to my face. I can't wait to start applying for residency. Elaine says I should just shotgun my application to every hospital in the Tri-County area. She's my rock. I don't know what I'm going to do without her around. I know she only has one more year of school left, and I know I'm going to be busy with applications and interviews, but oh, how I'm going to miss her smile. I think I'll take her advice and apply to all the hospitals in the region. Except St. Agnes, of course. The only way I'd ever apply to that dump is if every other hospital turns me down. As if that would happen. Email correspondence, February 24th, 1999. Dr. Nelson, thank you for your interest in a residency at St. Agnes Hospital. Unfortunately, we are unable to offer you a spot with us. We wish you luck in your endeavor. Sally James, St. Agnes Hospital, Psychiatric Ward Administration. Letter to Elaine Bennett, February 26th, 1999. Hey, I got rejected from St. Agnes. I don't know what to think. Oh, Elaine, I wish you were here. I know you only have a few months until your graduation, but every day away from you just makes me feel more alone. I was so sure I would get into residency right out of the gate. I still can't believe it's been 8 months. Maybe I'm not meant to be a psychiatrist. Great, huh? 8 years of school and how many thousands of dollars down the drain. I know what you'll say. I know you'll tell me not to give up and to keep pushing forward. I know. Just keep applying. I'm going to start looking out of state, and that scares me. How far away am I going to end up? What will happen to us? I can't help thinking about the future. I want to marry you, Elaine, but I have to find a job first. I mean, a real one. Working at the Gas and Go is not the illustrious career I had in mind while searching Freud and Jung. I want to be a psychiatrist so much. I just want to help people. Love, Eric. Letter to Elena Bennett, May 11th, 1999. Elaine, I got a residency. I can't believe it. It's a small hospital upstate. I don't even remember applying to it. I did what you said and just blasted applications everywhere. I probably couldn't tell you half of the places I'd put in for, but you were right. It paid off. The hospital is called Greenwood Manor. It's not very well known. I can't find a website for it, but it's a mental health asylum, so no ER, no blood. I'm so excited, Elaine. I start in 2 weeks. Hopefully I can take the time off to come to your graduation. I really don't think they'll have any issue with it, as it's still a month out. I'm so grateful to you. You never gave up on me. I owe you so much. I can't wait to marry you. Love, Eric. Letter to Elaine Bennett, June 21st, 1999. Elaine, I'm so sorry I missed your graduation. Thousand Pines and Greenwood Manor are a bit crazy. It turns out that the hospital is really small, only 30 patients. The staff is really small as well. There's the groundskeeper, one nurse, and the chief psychiatrist. Oh, by the way, the chief psychiatrist is yours truly. I wasn't hired for a residency, but as the primary doctor. Crazy, huh? I was shocked. Apparently the previous psychiatrist died suddenly, and they had trouble finding a qualified candidate who was willing to come up here. Thousand Pines is a tiny little town, basically in the middle of nowhere. Not many doctors willing to leave big hospitals for such a downgrade, but for me, a young psychiatrist just starting out, I feel like someone hit fast forward on my career. It's been hectic, though, learning the ropes. My nurse, Betty Morin, has been great. She reminds me of your Aunt Tilda. I'll come down and see you soon. And hey, with my new salary, I can afford more long-distance calls. No more waiting for weekends. All my love, Eric. Patient report, Anderson, Lucille. June 23rd, 1999. Miss Anderson's case is a classic. She believes she can see and communicate with ghosts. So far, she seems stable in all other aspects, but she says the ghosts tell her to do things. She checked herself into the hospital because she was worried that she might follow through on one of those more dangerous whispers she believes she hears. She told me today that Greenwood Manor has more ghosts than anywhere else she's ever been. That made me chuckle. Patient report. Ashcroft, Daniel, June 27th, 1999. Mr. Ashcroft suffers from severe dissociative identity disorder. Every time I visit him, I'm not sure who I will be speaking to. As of today's visit, I have chronicled 13 distinct personalities. I see little hope for improvement, and I regret to say that I believe Mr. Ashcroft will most likely spend the rest of his life here in Greenwood Manor. Letter to Eric Nielsen, July 1st, 1999. Eric, I miss you so much. I understand how busy you are. I know you blame yourself for not being able to come and visit, but you're helping people. You're doing what you meant to do. I know that's so deep in my heart, but life is boring without you. I'm coming up to see you, darling. I have a whole week free. We can start planning the wedding. All of my love, eternally. Elaine. P.S. I can't wait to be your wife. Thousand Pines Gazetteer article, July 2nd, 1999. Deadly crash claims life. Oak Hills resident Elaine Bennett, 24, was killed in a violent crash on Highway 72 last night. Miss Bennett was on her way to Thousand Pines to visit her fiancé, Dr. Eric Nielsen of Greenwood Manor. The unfortunate incidents occurred just after 10 p.m. Miss Bennett's sedan collided headfirst with a semi-trailer heading the opposite direction. The driver of the semi is currently being treated for minor injuries at Indigo Country Hospital. The sheriff's department had stated that no charges will be brought against the semi driver. All evidence points to Miss Bennett unexpectedly swerving into the path of the truck. It is unclear whether Miss Bennett was under the influence when the accident occurred. Funeral services will be held for Miss Bennett in Oak Hills on July 9th. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, July 9th, 1999. Elaine's funeral was today. It rained all week. It somehow seems appropriate. My mom tried to console me, but there wasn't much she could do. I know she understands how I feel. She lost Dad. I just can't face the reality of not seeing Elaine smile ever again. Writing this is hard. I just want to sleep, but I know that rest won't come so easily. I'm heading back up to Greenwood Manor in the morning. I want to get back to work. I feel like that's all I have left. Patient report, Jones, Craig. July 29th, 1999. Mr. Jones is convinced that he is King George. His delusion is harmless enough. He has presented no violence towards himself or others. He is here at his family's request. I quite like Mr. Jones. I hope to find a treatment path to help him return to his normal life. Memo to Nurse Betty Morin, August 8th, 1999. Betty, can you please ask the groundskeeper to wait until morning to do his work? He kept me up all night with the racket he was making outside my window. Dr. Nelson. Memo to Dr. Nelson, August 8th, 1999. Dr. Nelson, we don't have a groundskeeper. I'm not sure who was outside your window last night. Perhaps a vagrant. I can call the sheriff's department to file a complaint, if you'd like. Betty. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, August 8th, 1999. I don't get it. I could swear we had a groundskeeper. I've seen him almost every day, plodding along out in the grounds. He was even pruning the roses under my window last night. Maybe Betty is right. Maybe he's just a vagrant looking to get work. Betty offered to call the cops, but I told her not to. I don't want to make them come over here for something so simple. If this guy becomes a problem, then I'll call to have him taken away. He seems harmless enough. Patient report. Sanders, William. August 12th, 1999. Mr. Sanders suffers from the delusion that there are insects crawling beneath his skin. He must be kept in restraints at all times as he is prone to self-harm. Last week he bit a large portion of his own flesh off of his arm. The infection in his wound is coming along, however, and the bandages should be able to be removed soon. There is a new medication that I would like to try for Mr. Sanders. I'll be writing a prescription later this afternoon. Hopefully the Thousand Pines Pharmacy will be able to fill it quickly. They will most likely have to have it brought up from a larger city. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, September 3rd, 1999. So the pilot light went out on the furnace today. I had to go down to the basement to relight it, and I found an old locked door tucked away in a corner. I'm not sure what's behind it. Probably some sort of supply closet. It has a large brass lock on it, though. It looks really old, and it's kind of cool, for how old it is. I was surprised by the lack of rust. The crazy thing is, I swear I could hear weeping and moaning coming from behind the door. It gave me a bit of a shock at first, but then I realized that there are probably vents connecting to some of the patient's rooms. This place has new things to discover every day. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, September 10th, 1999. Betty quit. Mr. Sanders bit her while she was trying to feed him. She said she'd had enough and that she was going to find a less troubling job. I completely understand. I never thought that this would be so hard. Dealing with actual patients, Seeing the effects that their psychosis have on them is widely different than reading about it. I've come to know these people over the last 4 months. It hurts to see what they have to deal with. I honestly wish I could take it all away from them. I lie awake at night, crying. I never thought I would be that guy. It's all just so much to cope with. Thousand Pines article, September 26th, 1999. Thousand Pines nurse missing. Miss Betty Morin, a former nurse at Greenwood Manor, has been reported missing. Miss Morin quit her job 2 weeks ago, and her daughter, Carrie, reported her missing on the 22nd. It's so unlike her, Carrie Morin says, to just disappear and not let me know where she's going. Indigo County Sheriff's Department says their investigation is ongoing, and that they cannot reveal any details at this point in time. Sheriff's Report, September 29, 1999. The body of Betty Morin, 49, resident of Thousand Pines, was found in Greenwood Lake at approximately 14:30 on Wednesday, September 29th. Miss Morin was reported missing by her daughter 7 days prior on Wednesday, September 22nd. Autopsy results indicated no foul play, but copious amounts of alcohol in her system. It is suspected that Miss Morin drowned in Greenwood Lake accidentally. Case number HMTP-11641 is closed and ruled as an accidental death. Sheriff Paul Hattersley. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, October 14th, 1999. I can't find anyone to replace Betty. There aren't many nurses in Thousand Pines, and the few that are here already work in the medical clinic. I can't get anyone to come from out of town either. I guess being the sole nurse to 30 psychiatric patients isn't too appealing of a career prospect. I also can't reach the administration company that owns this hospital. No one even answers their phones. They have no answering machine set up, and every email I send comes back as undeliverable. I think the stress is really getting to me. It was hard enough keeping up everything with Betty here to help me, but I'm not getting a lot of sleep with how much work there is to do. I swear I saw Betty walking down the hall. Of course, when I shook my head and looked again, there wasn't anything there. If I start having regular hallucinations, I'll have to lock myself up with the patients. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, October 24th, 1999. I'm scared. I admit it. The things I've been seeing are getting to me. I saw Betty again. She was standing on the second floor, gazing out a window. I called out to her, but she disappeared. I know it's not real. I know that these things are my mind playing tricks on me. I'm sleep deprived, I'm stressed, and I'm heartbroken for my patients. I know that Betty is dead. She can't be here. I miss her, though. Her warm laugh, her tenderness with the patients. I know that's why I keep imagining that I see her. But then, why don't I see Elaine? I miss her more than anything. It hurts so much knowing she's gone. I wish that I could see her walking down the halls. Maybe that's why I don't. Because I want it too much. I know how complicated the human mind is. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, November 5th, 1999. I took a trip into town today, just to clear my head. The cool fall breeze was wonderful, and I realized how stuffy this hospital can get. I made sure all the patients were taken care of, fed, medicated, and secured. Then I walked down the hill to the diner on Main Street. I know I didn't have much time to myself, but it was a welcome break. I started to feel like me again, I ordered a slice of pumpkin pie and some warm apple cider. I was about halfway done when two young boys walked through the door, talking animatedly. "I swear, it's true," the redhead said to his friend. "This old, crazy doctor was obsessed with immortality. He studied ancient cultures and rituals. They said he found a way to steal the souls of others to keep himself alive. Then he built Greenwood Manor so we could have a steady stream of victims. No one would miss the loonies." Ice flooded my veins as the redhead's friend laughed the story off. I couldn't finish my pie. I paid and left, walking briskly back up the hill. I checked on all my patients. They were all still fine, but I wasn't. Why had I been so shaken? It was just a story, told by a prepubescent kid trying to frighten his friend. As I walked down the hall towards my room, I swear, I heard footsteps right behind me. I refused to look, though. I am a rational man, after all. Dr. Nelson's journal entry, November 6th, 1999. Miss Anderson's delusion took a weird turn today. After her regular checkup, she didn't want me to leave. There was a terror in her voice, and she was shaking. I sat down beside her bed and asked her what was wrong. Truthfully, a part of me wishes I hadn't. What she had to say chilled me to the core. "He's watching you. Always watching." I asked her who was watching me. "He stands above all, overseeing everything. Up, 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 high." I patted Miss Anderson's hand and stood to go, the hairs on the back of my neck standing on end. But she wasn't finished. "No one ever leaves. They're all still here. Even after they die, they can't move on. He tied them here, won't let them go. Down, 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 down. It's in our bones." Dr. Nelson's journal entry, November 7th, 1999. "I saw him again. That fucking groundskeeper. He was in the hospital. At 1 a.m., no less. I was pissed. He was just standing there in the cafeteria. I yelled at him, told him to get lost. He didn't say a word. He just smiled at me and turned and walked down the hall, deeper into the hospital. I had had enough. I followed him, ready to really let loose and give him a piece of my mind. I walked down the dimly lit hallway and saw him go into my office, the office I kept locked at all times, the office whose key I had on me. Yet there he was, the door hung wide open, and he just strutted in there like he owned the place. I followed him in, ready to vent. He stood there behind my desk, pointing at the back wall. I stumbled over my words, confused at his behavior. 'What do you want?' I asked him. He just smiled again, still pointing at the wall. Then he walked through it. I yelled and ran out, back to my room. I don't have any idea what I saw. Ghosts aren't real. They can't be. I know I've been seeing things lately, but it's just the stress. I calmed myself, focusing on being rational, coming with the explanations that were frankly more ridiculous than ghosts, but that nonetheless helped me to calm my terror-stricken heart. I resolved to get down to the bottom of this mystery. I scrounged up my courage, and I went back to my office. I walked in the door, half expecting to see him spinning in my desk chair, but no one was in sight. I breathed a sigh of relief and stepped forward. I began inspecting the drywall, looking for cracks, for secret levers, even for a well-disguised curtain. But I found nothing. The wall was solid. I knocked on it, gingerly at first, then harder. A hollow echo reverberated. There was an empty space behind the drywall. I looked around for something heavy to swing, my eyes landing on the wooden nameplate Elaine had sent me after I got the job. I hefted its weight in my hand. Its solid construction begged to be swung at the wall, and the memory of Elaine gave me the strength to hammer it home. The drywall gave way, bit by bit. Once there was a decent-sized hole, I peered through. It was dark, but it appeared to be an extension of the office. I kept up my attack on the plaster, throwing in kicks here and there for good measure. Soon enough, there was room for me to crawl through. Light filtered in, dust floating in the air from my repeated battering. There was another desk, a few chairs, and a degree on the wall, and a newspaper on the desk. It was open to an article about a missing doctor. The date was from 1911, and the picture was of the groundskeeper. My stomach leapt into my throat, and the chill wind seemed to swirl around the hidden space. As my eyes scanned the newspaper article, I noticed something else. A large brass key set right below the print. A large brass key that looked to match the large brass padlock on the door in the basement. I grabbed it without thinking. Its metal was ice cold in my hand. It was heavier than it should have been. Dread shot through my veins. I clambered back into the light of my office. The fear did not subside, and so I ran back here, back to my room. I put the key on my bedside table. That was 2 hours ago. I'm still terrified, but I feel a pull towards the key, towards the door in the basement. My heart tells me to wait. Wait until sunrise to go down there. Better yet, to throw the key away. To pack and leave. To go back home to Oak Hills, but I can't. I can't get it out of my mind. I know I'm being irrational. I'm letting fear drive me. I have to go down there. I have to open that door and prove to myself that I'm reading too much into this. I'm going down there. I'm going to open the door. See that it's just an old storage closet. Then, I'm going to make Mom's old cocoa recipe and go to bed. I am a rational man. Thousand Pines article, November 9th, 1999. Horror at Mental Health Hospital. Greenwood Manor, the asylum that sits just outside of town, was home to a horrific discovery this morning. After receiving an anonymous tip, Indigo County Sheriff's deputies were sent to investigate the hospital. They discovered all 30 of the psychiatric patients dead. They appeared to have been bludgeoned to death. The administrator of Greenwood Manor, Dr. Eric Nelson, was found alive in a small room in the basement. Authorities said that Dr. Nelson was babbling incoherently and covered in blood. Dr. Nelson was uninjured, but was admitted into the psychiatric ward of Indigo County Hospital. The sheriff's department declined to answer whether Dr. Nelson is a suspect in the murders. Sheriff Paul Hattersley. Journal entry, November 17th, 1999. I can't get it out of my mind. I've never seen anything so horrible. I've investigated strange cases in my time. Indigo County is not the quiet mountain locale everyone thinks. There's a dark history here. Even so, I'd never come across such a gut-wrenching scene. So many bodies, beaten and bloody. I'll never forget the smell. And poor Dr. Nelson. Such a shame what happened to him. He was a nice young man. He didn't deserve this. The local paper wants me to pin the blame on him, charge him with the murders, but I know he didn't kill those people. There's something evil up in Greenwood Manor. Always has been. I've never liked this place. Every couple years, the entire staff changes. There have been several disappearances and strange deaths, but everything was always circumstantial. Old folk tales built up around the hospital. We told the press that we found the doc in a room in the basement. But that wasn't the half of it. It was actually a large stone pit. There were strange engravings on all the walls that looked as old as the hospital itself. Everyone knows the stories of old Marcus Hightower, the guy who built Greenwood Manor back in 1908. He did strange things up there, occult rituals, they say. Then he disappeared one day. I don't think he ever actually left. I'm going to do what I can to close that hospital, for good. No one needs to go in there. Patient report. Nelson, Eric. March 6th, 2000. Dr. Nelson came to us several months ago, after a severe psychotic break. We believe it was stress-induced. Dr. Nelson showed no signs of improvement. Indeed, he seemed to drift further and further away from reality. Most days, he was catatonic. Unfortunately, Dr. Nelson was found dead in his room yesterday morning. The cause of death is uncertain at this time. The autopsy was performed by Indigo County Coroner's Office, and they're quite confused. According to their report, Dr. Nelson was in the advanced stages of severe degenerative bone disease. They say his skeletal structure was akin to that of a 9-year-old, than a man of Dr. Nelson's 26 years. What is even more perplexing is a medical report from a physical Dr. Nelson had last summer. There were no signs of skeletal degeneration at that time. How he could have contracted DBD and then had the disease progress so rapidly is astounding. Dr. Nelson's family has agreed to allow further research to be conducted on his body. Thousand Pines article, June 26th, 2000. Greenwood Manor to reopen. Under the direction of Dr. Marcus Hightower, Greenwood Manor, site of a grisly mass murder last November, will reopen as a fully functional mental health hospital. Dr. Hightower is the great-grandson of the original founder of Greenwood Manor. He is hoping to help the town of Thousand Pines move on from the horrible incidents that occurred at the hospital and honor the legacy of his namesake. "She's got good bones," Dr. Highwater said. "It'd be a shame to let such a beautiful building remain tarnished by such a dark event." The hospital will have a grand reopening celebration on August 1st. A barbecue, live concert, and charity raffle will be part of the gala.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You could win free Conies, Cholitos, and more at your local Skyline Chili. Head into Skyline, grab a Skyline Fest game piece, and peel for a chance to win instantly at participating Skyline locations while supplies last. Game ends August 24th.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.